and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us, and nations under our feet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises, sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm.
God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever.
Your hands, all peoples, shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all the earth.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
O God, whose never-failing providence orders all things both in heaven and earth, we humbly implore you to put away from us all hurtful things and to give us those things that are profitable for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made straighten up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of the land is good. Gilead and onyx stones are there. The name of the second river is the Kihon. This is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the third, and the name of the third river is the Tigris. It flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Come, O children, listen to me. I will tell you the fear of the Lord.
Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed.
The epistle is from Romans, chapter 6. I'm speaking in human terms because of my natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. For what fruit did you get at that time? For the things of which you are now ashamed. The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading.
Because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him,
How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said, seven. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, seven baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Text for our consideration comes from the Gospel of Mark, which was just read. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus' important work in this gospel text could be summed up in one word: miraculous. Feeding 4,000 people cannot be seen as anything other than a miracle when you consider that Jesus did so with 7 ordinary loaves of bread and a few ordinary fish. However, when you think of the other miracles Jesus performed during his life and compare them to this miraculous feeding, the other ones seem to be at least a bit more spectacular. For instance, would it not be more impressive to be healed by Jesus than to be fed by him? Imagine being able to see or hear for the first time in your life because Jesus healed you. Wouldn't that be spectacular? That's not to say that being fed by Jesus isn't amazing as well, but compared with being able to speak or to walk when you've never been able to do either of those things before, it does seem to fall a bit short. Given the choice, would anybody want a meal instead of a healing from Jesus? If one of you were lying on your deathbed, would you ask that Jesus give you some food, or would you want him to make you better? Would you not trade a miraculous meal for a miraculous healing? Then again, receiving a miracle from Jesus, whether it's in the form of a healing or a meal, is not really up to anyone. The feeding of the 4,000 may not seem so impressive as a miracle when compared to the other things that Jesus did during his life, but it's still worthy to note that it had been a few days since most of these folks were able to have a meal. And yet, it was hardly a life and death situation. They were hungry and could not be expected to make it home without eating, but they were not without other options. It's not unlike the feeding of the 5,000. Or the first miracle that Jesus performed during the wedding at Cana when he turned the water into wine. The crowd could have been sent to the villages to buy food for themselves, and that wedding reception would have been over sooner when the wine ran out. But those 5,000 people would have survived, and those wedding guests would not have been worse for not having had so much wine. Likewise, these 4,000 could have found some food another way. They were hungry, but no one was in danger of starving to death. There must have been a deeper significance to this feeding, then, besides simply filling hungry stomachs with food. When you listen closely to the language Mark used to describe what Jesus did, that significance becomes clearer. He took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. Now, those words should sound familiar to anyone who's grown up in the Christian church. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Dear Christians, the great significance of this miraculous feeding is that it looks ahead and prepares the way for the greater miracle that Jesus provides when he gives you heavenly food in the Lord's Supper. He fed 4,000 people in that day from what was a totally inadequate supply of bread and fish, just as he continues to feed the whole Christian church throughout the world today with what seems to be ordinary bread and ordinary wine. The food that Jesus gave the crowd then was for the sustenance of their earthly lives, but the food that he gives you now is his precious body and blood, heavenly food that gives you everlasting life. All of a sudden, this miracle of feeding the 4,000 is not at all unspectacular, because it proclaims to you that the Lord will provide you with all you need, both in an earthly sense and, more importantly, in a heavenly sense. The prophet Isaiah had this in mind in his 55th chapter. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." The 4,000 in this text came from far and wide and followed Jesus for days. He healed their sick as he had compassion on them, and he filled their stomachs when they were hungry. Even though they should have remembered the earlier feeding of 5,000, the disciples were still bewildered at the idea of feeding this crowd in the middle of nowhere. Yet Jesus gave them food that they could never have found anywhere else, for he provided it from himself. The very same thing and even more could be said of you as you gather here week in and week out. You come because you know that this is where Jesus is present. This is where he comes to you. This place is all but deserted during the week. But when our Lord speaks his word through your pastor and gives from himself in the Lord's Supper, you come. You come and you are fed from Jesus himself, just like the multitude in the gospel reading. Only it's not just earthly food that he gives you. He also gives you the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and everlasting salvation. Friends, the food is the miracle, and the feeding is the miracle. The miracle is not that our Lord fed all those people one meal. It's that he feeds you every meal. Undeserving though you are, his compassion for you is the same as it was on the crowd from the text. He knows the chronic, terminal ailment of sin from which you all suffer. He heals your sickness of sin through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. And he still feeds you. In his mercy, the Lord feeds you forever. The 4,000 he fed with the 7 loaves and small numbers of fish were merely a foretaste of how he would eventually feed all of you in the Lord's Supper, and how he will one day feed you eternally in heaven. He still feeds you the things you need for this earthly life, and he continues to feed you with the food that will carry you to eternal life. With such a truly magnificent miracle taking place right here every Sunday, you never need to think about trading food from Jesus for anything else. For as you receive the food that is Jesus, you receive it all. Everything Jesus is and everything he has is given for you. Nothing could be more spectacular. To him alone be all the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. We rise for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith and his kingdom extended, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church throughout the world and for all who confess the name of Christ, that God would guard and defend us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, its mission, and its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we do the work God has given us to do, and for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who partake this day of Christ's holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins and the renewal of life, and have a foretaste of the feast to come, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have wandered from the faith, that the Holy Spirit would use us to call them home to the Father, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the government and all who have been set into positions of leadership, that they may use the authority entrusted to them honorably and for the good of the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer from hunger, homelessness, poverty, or unemployment, that God's great mercy and love would preserve and relieve them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick, especially the shut-ins, Ralph Bolt, Joan Birch, Connie Cook, Marion Greening, Vivian Strong, Marlene Wiltshire, and Dick Weiser, for members requesting prayers, Bruce Bebo, Donna Bebo, Charlotte Dardy, Joyce Kohler, Ella Shaw, and Dorothy Weiser, for family and friends of members, Corrine Ellenbass, Tom Ellenbass, Eric Lovejoy, Jessica Uptegraff, Scott McCollum, Joan Martins, Lendon Culp, Connie Glaser, Charles Shaw, Christy Truesdell, Margaret Duby, Lloyd and Lyle Duby, Maxine Pohl, Leona Lanshaw-Irigan, Phil Warshop, and Lee Gee. That God would grant healing to their bodies, answer to their prayers, and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, that in their time of sorrow they would not lose hope, but rely on God's promise that he will never leave them or forsake them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who rejoice in the rich blessings of God, that they may always remember the giver of every gift and give him heartfelt thanks. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross, and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Mercy.
given for you. Take, eat the body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.